Hello and welcome to today's Boost podcast with me, Graham Farmer. Today we've got an interview which I did in the summer. Apologies for the delay on these interviews. As I said last time, I got hit by kind of just having to homeschool, and that took a lot of time away from my week. Now the schools are back, as you can see, we've been rolling out the content a lot more. A lot of things have been kind of been launching. Really exciting time again now. I'm glad to have my daughter back in school for sure and have her learning, but it's nice to have her in the summer. This week on the podcast, I chat to Ben Bowler from Send Music. Those of you who watched my Boost breakfast shows in the summer, I chatted about Send Music when it was launched, and they were launching their new app at the time. And Ben basically is the designer and developer behind Send Music. At age 27, he'd already become a tech entrepreneur. He basically built the streaming service Chew.tv. It was a 500k community online streaming service, which allowed you to kind of build your own channels and build your own streaming channels on the app. Amazing piece of kit. That then closed, and he moved on to his next thing. Armed with only a laptop and a mobile phone for testing, he cycled 23,000 kilometers alone across the world, experiencing different cultures, incredible highs and lows. And essentially, he was building Send Music as he was going. We chatted about this. We chatted about how he built Send Music, his cycling, his journey across the globe. We also chatted in depth about how Send Music works and how it works for artists and the product that they've built. It really does look a great product. It does look like it's something that can actually help you get music into the right people's hands and then let you know when it's been listened to. So go and check it out after this, send.music.com. Let's dive into this podcast. Hey, Ben, how are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Graham?
Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. I'm very good, thank you. How was your weekend? Was it good?
Yeah, good, good. Just definitely being sick of being inside, so looking forward to getting back out there.
Have you got a garden or anything, or are you just sort of...
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. We've got a shared garden here, so we've sort of got a timeshare system going with our neighbours to make the use of the little square of sunny ground, which is very lucky to have in London.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah, you must be in London. Christ, yeah. We've got a big old gardens. We're Milton Keynes, so we have a nice garden with a nice space. It's lovely. Mm. So it's actually not been so bad. We can just go and sit in the garden and just like enjoy the sun.
It's a dream. Yeah, I mean, the only other thing is getting out on the bike or for a run. Obviously, things are calming down lockdown-wise, but that's been a saviour for me, I think, being able to get out still on the bike or with the running shoes and just go for laps of the street. That's kept me sane.
Yeah, I've been running quite a bit. I love my running, but I've just had like tight glutes for about 2 weeks, and I've just not been able to run for 2 weeks, and it's been driving me up the wall. Like, I pulled a hamstring last year, and I'm so like protective of it now. Like, if something starts to ache too much, yeah, yeah, it's like rest, and get on the foam roller, and that's about it, you know?
That's it. Well, I can send you some stretches after this, because I have to say that's been a life changer for me, because I had the same with a few running injuries, but just some killer stretches have kept me going, kept me on the road, and kept me running, which is good.
Yeah, so let's talk about you. For those that don't know who you are, can you talk about your backstory, talk about how... where you're up to now, and then we'll want to dive into your new project.
Sure. I'm a jazz drummer originally, if we're going from the music world. I was trained up from a teenage by my dad, who's a jazz arranger and saxophonist. I'm also a techie, so I moved down from Norwich to London a good 10, 11 years ago to start working for AEI Media, mm-hmm. As a web developer for a few years. And I spent some time at Vice after that, also as a techie there, as a web mm-hmm. developer there. And throughout that time, I kind of grew into kind of more into a love of DJing, a little bit of production, but mainly performance for me. And out of that, got into the world of live streaming. So we did a lot of live streaming at AEI. As you know, they do a lot of streaming for Drum and Bass Arena back in the day, but also streams for UKF and a lot of the other brands too. I kind of used those skills to end up working for myself, contracting, doing live streams for other people, just running down to clubs with cameras and filming out of dodgy basements with a tethering off a phone that's hanging out the office window, all that stuff. That was
so far back in the streaming, in the streaming landscape. That was such a long time ago.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, back in that day, it was pre-Facebook Live, pre YouTube Live, definitely pre-Twitch. And I mean, the main channels then were livestream.com, Ustream, Justin TV. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
A few of those are still about, but now it's all about the kind of big social networks that are in on that game.
Yeah, that must have been like 2010, maybe, was that?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that
was so terrible with dates.
Yeah, that's such a long time ago.
And then, so from there, I kind of ended up working for a bit for Boiler Room, or doing some kind of player technology stuff for Boiler Room. But I had a kind of decision moment where I was like, do I start my own company or do I kind of go and work for Boiler Room? And I'm a real kind of keen supporter of the independent, whether it's an artist or kind of startup person. And so I kind of went out on a limb and started my first company, which was Chew TV, which is where we met originally, or how we met originally, or why we met originally.
I think I was speaking to you at AEI though. I think I remember emailing on an AEI email. So I think I spoke to you then.
Quite possibly. Yeah, I might be doing a little subtle mail outs. Yeah.
yeah, then I suppose, definitely spoke to you at Chew. Yeah, obviously that's where we spoke. Yeah.
And that was, RIP. That was a live streaming platform for DJs. We came out of the gate around when we saw that what Twitch was doing. They were still very early on in that period, but they were really kind of smashing this bedroom gamer. I suppose, what was the other type of gamer in that area,
yes,
you know, that kind of scene, the bedroom gamer scene. And so we knew from being one myself, that there's so many bedroom DJs out there and bedroom musicians out there that we should there should be a groundswell in music as well as in gaming. And so, and that's what Chew hit, really. We grew the platform to 500,000 DJs and producers streaming from around the world over the 3.5 years we were running it. We just didn't get the Amazon cash in to help us keep funding it. And we ended up, it's a very expensive. We found out very hard way that it's very expensive to run a live video streaming platform. But that was, fantastic, and made such amazing friends throughout that period of time. And it's just great to be able to do something. So I think that makes a difference in certain ways. Like, I feel like we really hit a certain scene that's now exploded. And I think a lot of those guys are now streaming on Twitch and streaming on other platforms as well. So
it's actually a shame it wasn't around this summer, because you'd have had a mega sign up rate with all the live streams this summer. But
well, it still lives on, because our guy Sam, who was the first hire for Chew, he went on to work for Mixcloud, who you may know have just launched Mixcloud Live. So there's a lot of lineage there.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
In the tool, he's been heavily involved in getting the Mixcloud Live project up and running. So it's super cool to see someone holding the torch and really doing well with it. So
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I knew about Mixcloud Live. In fact, I think I was one of the first people to talk about Mixcloud Live, because I spotted it like Monday morning. I was just having a little look around and I spotted it, and I was like, right, I'm going live right now to talk about this, because no one else has talked about it. So and then like about 2 hours later, the press release came out, and it was like
nice. Yeah, it pays to be watching for those buttons.
I know, it's mad. And then let's talk about what you're doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
This lovely thing that's behind you in your background as well.
Oh, yeah,
for those that are on, have the video, see the video.
Yes. Yeah, so after that, there was a bit of a detour. I ended up leaving the UK and cycling around the world. I don't know if we're going to talk much about that, but yeah, I've spent the last 2 years cycling around the world. And kind of before I left, I met up with Kamal, who I'd known for a while. He's a producer at Radio One, among a lot of other accolades that I could go through. And he'd helped a lot out with Chew, just being a kind of general person to chat to get advice as we were building that company. But he had this idea for, he runs, he gets sent hundreds of tracks a week to put on his show, or the show that he produces, for Diplo. And he just got sick of getting a WhatsApp link from someone that gets lost in the background with a WeTransfer URL in it, or a SoundCloud link via email that gets read or put into a folder and he can't find it when he needs to put it in the mix. And there's all these different kind of inefficiencies in his daily workflow that he just wanted to get out there and fix. And so he had a very basic version of some music when we chatted. And before I pedaled off away from London in 2018, I agreed to come on board and develop Send Music properly, as it should have been done, as I pedal around the world. And so, yeah, Send Music kind of came out of this idea of being kind of a central place to transfer music files, but also for the kind of collaboration stuff on top of it.
That's cool. Let's dive into all of that. Like, firstly, why did you go cycling? Was it just something you've always wanted to do? I do want to talk about that because it is interesting. I said, I'm into running and I'm into health, and I'm interested in why you kind of decided to go cycling around the world and health. Yeah. Tell me about that, because it does sound fun.
Yeah, I think it's a good context thing. I mean, it's something that I'm so lucky to be able to do as a techie, as a developer. Like, I've got my laptop here. I can basically work anywhere around the world, although I suppose everyone's being forced to do that right now anyway. Yeah. Being able to work from home, but yeah, so it's just always been a dream, I have to say. I got the bike that I cycled with as a teenager as a present for my dad, and I built it up myself, learned how to repair every single part of it. I spent a few years in my teens, or a few months in my teens, cycling across Europe on my own, just with a little bivy bag, sleeping in hedges and finding my way around.
No way.
So then this is a real extension to that. I definitely wanted to do that when I was a teenager. I just didn't have the means to do it.
Yeah.
But it turned from kind of the dream into basically a real lifestyle thing, which would still be going on now if it wasn't for COVID. But since between May 2018 and March this year, I cycled 30,000 kilometers, crossed 25 different international borders. I've cycled across the Himalayas, central Turkish kind of deserts, and really seen some amazing things. And also, stopped off in all these different cities, stopped off in Mumbai, in Istanbul, in Tbilisi, in Bulgaria, into Southeast Asia, to work and stop. I'd stop for a month to work on Send Music, and then I'd cycle for a month. And while the guys were catching up and working out what we needed to do next.
That's really cool. As a developer, you need so little, don't you? You can do it as one laptop and you're good, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel it works for kind of producers and stuff these days, really. Like, I think, definitely for DJs. I mean, DJs have been doing it for years, right?
Yes,
working up in a different city every weekend. You can produce, you've got your laptop now, so you can produce when you're on the flight or on the bus or whatever. So I think for me, it's an extension of that. If I've got a Wi-Fi connection and a power socket, I'm good to go.
which way did you go? Like, what route did you go?
There's a fairly established route, actually. There's a surprising number of people that are kind of doing that are cycling around the world at any one time. There's normally a few hundred people generally that I've, from my experience, it tends to be you go to as far as you can southeast from Europe. You want to go east because you get the best prevailing winds based on the fact that most of your ride is in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right.
And so my first leg was London to Bulgaria, to Sofia, Bulgaria.
Yeah.
I went from Bulgaria to Georgia, to Tbilisi in the Caucasus.
Yeah.
And then generally you get a boat across into Turkmenistan, but I mistimed things and it was going to be like minus 15 in Turkmenistan. So I flew to Mumbai and spent like month and 7 months across the beaches of India. You know, I went to Goa for New Year's, which is definitely something like a lifetime kind of bucket list thing.
Yeah.
So
it does sound a lot more. That does sound a lot better cycling than a little bit of sun instead of minus 15.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely enjoyed sitting on that beach rather than just being in a blizzard somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be stands. That'd have been awful. That would, yeah. So then you were building the software on the back. So it started as a web-based project, and it is a web-based project. And now, obviously, now you've just released the mobile version as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it started as a web app. I think that's a great way to kind of get things out fast. And I think the first version back in 2018, or the first version that I was involved with, you know, it was a month or two to get something really, really good and simple out and working for people to try. Mm-hmm. And then we spent the next kind of year or so really nailing it down and working on what people need and how to kind of make this slickest experience around the file transfer side.
Yep.
But as soon as we got into the deepest part around collaboration, we kind of hit this wall where really, like, when you're out and about and you're the most of the time these days, really, if you're kind of in one of those seats, like a radio station or at label. You're kind of on your phone most of the time between meetings or whatever, or just at your coffee break or whenever you're actually getting that chance to listen to music. So that's why we wanted to go mobile, and we started with an iOS app, and that's really been our focus down feature set on collaboration. So the file transfer has always been in the web, and will always be in the web.
Yes.
On the iOS app, we've now got the ability to message directly back. So the kind of workflow works like, you know, as a DJ producer, you drop your tracks onto Mr. Jam or Benji B or Jam Supernova's Send Music profile, drop it into the uploader, press send. On their phone, instantly they get a notification saying new tracks. They tap that. Within two taps, it's playing out their phone, playing in their earpods or whatever. And then they can reply directly straight away in that app, and you get that response straight away. So there's never been anything like this actually to be able to kind of get your music heard. I think that's the key thing for us. Like, we actually want people to hear your music, and that's what we've been focused on so much for the last 18 months or so.
There certainly is a struggle with that. Like, certainly a struggle getting music heard. Like, the amount of DJs and producers that are just kind of not getting their stuff heard, and so it's great. And I like that you can kind of message back, because that's one of the problems with, I guess, SoundCloud, is that the messaging system is generally awful in the app. And that does sound like a great feature, you know?
Yes. Yeah, my SoundCloud inbox seems to be just me being propositioned, I find, whenever I log in. Lots of spam in there, I think. So yeah, we're really focusing on making that the core of the experience.
Yeah, and also, like, for me, I'm a big stickler of sending information with the music as well. So it's like, like, I really want to know who you are, I really want to know what you're doing, I really want to know kind of what you've been up to. So that obviously helps. Like, when you're doing it from other apps, I know that you're just, some of that is lost in that send process. So that sounds cool as well.
Yeah, I mean, for that, we can, you know, because every Send Music account is associated with a profile page, that kind of gives a lot more information. Obviously, you can send a message with the track to give more context, but equally, you know, someone like, as one of those high profile names that I mentioned, they can just tap on your name at the top of the message, and they can see your public profile. And on that profile, you can put links to your YouTube channel or to your SoundCloud or to your website or your release or your next upcoming event, whenever those are back on soon. And you can give much more detail about yourself kind of on that platform than the real white label kind of upload services that people are using these days to send files around.
Yeah, it does seem to be a lot of different programs at the moment. And what's it like for listening to multiple files? Because for me, one of the I get so many Dropbox links for albums, and they're just so bad for workflow. Because I want to put it on and I want to play it in a row, and it kind of let it happen while I'm working, and that is a massive problem for me with that system. What's it like for that sort of thing?
Yeah, so right now we have each kind of message is a playlist. So if you hit play on the top track, it'll just play through all of that, all of those tracks for that message. I think something that we really want to do for the future versions of the app particularly, and the website as well, is just to be able to have like autoplay checkbox on. So in that inbox, it goes all the way through and keeps playing from message to message. But right now, yeah, the inbox is just a stream of everything, and you can just play through it nice and smoothly.
That's perfect. Yeah, like, such a bugbear. Like just anything that sort of slows down my workflow and listening is, like, I literally didn't listen to, someone sent me an album the other day, and I literally didn't, it's a big label as well, I literally didn't listen to it because it was on a Dropbox. And I emailed back the PR going, I can't listen to this because I have to go back in and click every track every second, every 5 minutes, and that's just so bad for my workflow.
Yeah, well, send them your Send Music links next time.
I will do. I will do. So let's talk about the send process, and also receive. Like, you mentioned your Send Music profile. I know that there's you can actually have something for your email that you can actually put a link in your email that people can then just click on it and actually send you music. So for me, as a website owner, I could have a data transmission page, and then people that are sending me demos would go do that link. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. There's almost there's two or three things there really. There's there's the send.mu link, which is our short URL that we have, send.mu. Yep. And so that can go anywhere and everywhere, as you mentioned. So Kamal and actually James, who you know, has got that in his email signature. It's basically just, yeah, a short link that you can give out anywhere that links back to that profile. And on that profile page, there's a big upload button, which goes straight to you, straight to your inbox. And if you have one of our kind of, we've got a couple of little paid plans that we're playing with. If you've got one of those, you can actually force people to upload music that's valid for longer periods of time. Because for now, you can decide whether you have the track available for a day. If it's something really exclusive that you don't want to share for very long, you can have it for a day. As a week, if you sign up for a free account, you can send it for a month. And then with the plans, you can send it up to three. It can be valid. That link can be valid for about 3 months. But if you have that top plan, you can check a box and all of the stuff sent to you is valid for the full 3 months, which is fantastic, I think, for labels and probably people like you who get sent a lot of music. You're probably not going to necessarily listen to it all within the first month. But then the other thing is the embed code, which I think would be something that would work for data transmission. We've got a couple of producers using it. It's the classic thing where, you know, you've got a site or a blog, you've got a page on there where your demos normally come in. Instead of linking off somewhere else, you can literally just put the Send Music profile right in the middle of that page. And that's a fantastic way, again, of just reducing the friction for people to send music to you, which at the end of the day just gets more great music to you. And I think that's the key thing that we're on about here, really.
Oh, that's cool. That's a private embed? So how does that work? So if people are sending me music and they want it to stay private, would the music appear in that embed?
So the music doesn't appear in the embed, but it's basically just an embeddable uploader.
Right.
So it's your profile that's embedded, and then the music that gets sent to that goes into your kind of private.
Oh, that's amazing. Definitely for like great for record labels. Like they could just have a Dropbox, essentially that space, whatever you're going to call it. I don't want to call it a Dropbox because obviously that's somebody else's brand. But you know that we literally drop. That's amazing. Like labels having their own demo drop, but basically a demo drop, I guess.
100%, yeah.
That'd be great for my labels, for sure. And I suppose data transmission, but yeah. Okay, tell me about this pricing, because there is this, obviously on the website you can see the three tiers, but...
Yes. Yeah, I mean, really, like we put all of the best stuff in the free plan. We probably give away too much, but we're kind of, yeah, like I said earlier, I've always been about the independent either artist or founder or producer or creator or whatever you want to call us. And so really, yeah, we really make sure that everything that's there is in the free plan. So you don't have to pay to use any of the core kind of functionality of Send Music. You don't have to pay to message, you don't have to pay to send, you don't have to pay to receive anything. But the plans that we have are number one, customization plan, which allows you to, as it says on the tin, lets you play around with that profile page a bit more. We've got very subtle colors, the blue on there and the light blue dots. If you've got some branding for your label or for you as an artist, you can just pay $5 a month currently, and that's that lets you change those colors, set a new background image, all that kind of stuff, which is quite simple. Then the next one, which is actually where 90% of people sign up, is the security plan, which lets you add a little bit more security to the uploads. So by default, we actually have a lot of security built in. Again, for the free accounts, we transcode the files on the back end into lower res AAC files, which means that if someone records the aux out jack, they're not getting the full quality file. And we also prevent downloading as much as possible. We have the ability to limit the files to only be streamed. So you check a box, and instead of there being a download link, there's just a player, and they can only access it in the player. The paid plan just gives you a little bit more, which is able to actually limit the number of streams and downloads via a number, like 10 downloads only, 10 plays only, and then the link expires. And you can actually add a little audio sting on there. So you could put, data transmission demo or something over the top every 10 seconds of your file, if you really want to make sure nobody's dropping that on the Pirate Bay afterwards.
Those are
the two plans. We've actually been offering real discounts over the COVID-19 crisis for any producer or DJ that's kind of struggling. So if you want to try out any of those, then you can definitely hit me up on sendmusic.com, ben@sendmusic.com, and we can sort you out.
Cool, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I like that. That sounds cool. So that's where you're kind of adding the data transmission demo. Is that your watermarking of audio files?
Exactly. Yeah.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah. Just a simple audio watermark. Yeah.
That's really cool. The SEM music profile. So that's your like a public profile that people can just listen to what you've set as public, essentially.
Yeah. So there's no tracks on there, public tracks on there at the moment, because we're about sharing kind of pre-release music, you know, back and forward between creators. So there's nothing on that public profile. You can check mine out if you want, sendmusic.com/BenBowler. Obviously there's a whole list of our top profiled users at sendmusic.com/directory. And that's where you can see the likes of, you know, the guys I mentioned earlier, Mr. Jam, Benji B, Jam Supernova, Ways and Odyssey. There's some labels on there like Subsoul. Paul Wolford's on there. There's loads of other people on there. Their public profiles, basically, yeah, that's their demo drop kind of page. That's got their links out to other stuff. Yep. They might have links out there to, you know, released music and that kind of stuff. But then the main focus of that page is the uploader. And, you know, you just drop the tracks in there and it goes straight to their inbox.
Oh, that's cool. You were talking about collaborations earlier. I know that you've got some features for collaborating and kind of sharing music between collaborators. Should we talk about that?
Yeah. So the main thing, we really, like I said just a second ago, we're all about pre-release music. So I think once you've got a track that's kind of ready and bounced down and you're sending it off, you know, that's when you send it off to stick it on SoundCloud, or you send it off to CD Baby or whatever you use to DistroKid or whatever to get it onto Spotify and all that kind of stuff. But we sit very much between Splice and, you know, that DistroKid or whatever. Yeah. On the distribution side.
Or a label, I guess.
Or a label, yeah, to get it out there. So what we have is basically a load of features around messaging. So the iOS app brings kind of instant messaging a la WhatsApp to those pre-release files. So the workflow we see is you're messing around with your session on Splice, but you want to get someone else on board to kind of, you know, drop an extra bass line on the track, or you want some feedback from a manager or a friend or a DJ or whatever. So you stick it into Send Music, send it over to them. They get a notification in their app. They instantly get that push notification, pops open, can listen to it immediately within a second, and then they can hit reply there. And then you've got this instant chat thread back and forward about the track. So right now it's pure messaging, but we're going to be adding a lot of stuff around, you know, time stamping and potentially kind of video responses, things like that in future, kind of to make it super, super exciting.
Yeah, have you got things like audio voice notes and things in there yet, or is that coming?
That's stuff like that. The main thing is we're building it for producers and artists. So we're really based on feedback. We've got a long list of what people have asked us for. and so we're just working through that as fast as we can, really. So if anyone listening to this has any feedback of what they want, then just hit me up again. But that's all come up before. It'd be super, super exciting to have that in there.
Yeah, having worked for tech companies before, I know those lists are normally super long, and there's stuff that's immediate priorities, and then there's the dreams down the bottom. Mm. Cool. What else have we got in the system? What else have we not talked about? Dropbox. That sounds really cool, the Dropbox part, the kind of profile part. That sounds really cool. Really useful for labels, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting element. Like, it almost came out by accident, really. Like, we just wanted a way for people to share and get sent music really easily. But it blew up super early. Like, I mean, within the first few months, it was on incredibly high ranking DJs and producers at Twitter pages and Instagram bios. People just really started to share it far and wide. So it's become a real central part of the app that we wouldn't necessarily have predicted early on.
Yeah, I mean, even in the last, like, I've went on your directory page a while back, and even in the last few weeks, fair play, it's grown massively. Like, the amount of people on there now is amazing. So well done, firstly.
Yeah. Congrats. Yeah, it's been growing super big. I think the the iOS app was a real turning point for us. I mean, we'd just been sending it out to friends really before then with the web app, and you know, we've got to sort of thousands of users in a month, but since the app's come out, we've blown through kind of 10,000 plus, tens of thousands of users a month in using the free and the kind of logged in and the logged out app combined. So it's really been incredible to watch that change, and super exciting as well. I remember, you know, with Chew, it took us, you know, 6 months to get 500 users, and then a year to get, you know, 5,000 users, whereas Send Music is really accelerating a lot faster than that.
What's the next plan going forward with it?
So we're really just, I mean, we launched the first version of the iOS app just a couple of months ago. So now it's really just doubling down and working on the features that we get based on feedback. I think there's still a lot we can do around making that inbox super easy to sort. As you mentioned, like being able to just sit back and play through all the content just needs to be in there. The ability to kind of manage that inbox a bit more. At the moment, you've got read and unread messages, and that's about it. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that anyone could probably kind of shout out or drop in the comments of what they wanted to see, but things like archiving, flagging, you know, when you get labels involved, there's delegating or sharing with other team members, things like that.
Yes.
And then just a lot more stuff around kind of the contacts. We think that's really an important part of Send Music that we haven't really explored. We've got this early community, as you can see on the directory page, but we're not doing as much as we can to kind of connect the people that are on the system. And I think that's where we'll win, because there's a lot of services like, you know, like you mentioned Dropbox, who, you know, they're a great tool for storing, you know, your receipts or whatever you end up using, or your photo, backing up your photos and sharing them with family. But where we really win is the community that we already have and that is growing over time. And so we basically want to make sure that whether you're a super junior kind of producer coming to the space, or you're like a top line DJ or radio presenter or a label head or whatever, when you come to Send Music, you plug into this community of creative people, and you can get your music heard, or you can find the next great hit using our service. So that's where we're going next.
That's really cool. I guess other things like if you're managing multiple labels, then you'll need certain different restrictions as well, and be able to access different inboxes, which would be quite handy, I suppose.
All that fun stuff. Yeah.
All that fun stuff. Yeah. Wow, man, it sounds amazing. It sounds amazing. Like, I need to sign up. I haven't done it yet, but I need to do. I know, I'm apologies for my tardiness. But I will be.
I'll
actually go and do it after this call. Like, by the time this podcast's out, there'll be a Send Music Data Transmission, because I'm gonna do it straight after. I've had homeschooling, and it's been taking my time, a lot of my time.
Well, I'm still amazed about the content they've been putting out, I have to say.
I'm only working 2 days a week at the moment, and just having to cram everything into short spaces of time. So
there you go. That's a sign of a true professional.
What about like things like analytics? We haven't really spoken about that. Mm-hmm. I guess on music and like stats and play counts and kind of obviously the good thing from a SoundCloud point of view is you know when someone's listened and you know what.
Yeah.
And when they've listened and who's listened, that sort of thing, you know? And yeah. Especially when you're sending music for as a demo.
Yes.
What's that sort of like within the system, and how does that work?
Yeah, so because we're not kind of fan facing, which SoundCloud is to an extent, we don't necessarily kind of have the full on play back analytics like you might have with that, because we're kind of, you're not necessarily, when you upload some music, you're not necessarily expecting your track to get 50,000 plays. It's not about that. But what people want to know with some music, as I said before, is when their track gets heard. And so I mentioned the push notifications when you get sent music, but kind of almost as critically as that, I forgot to mention that you get a notification when someone actually plays or downloads the track, which I think is equally as big, because as how easy it is to listen is how easy it is to kind of to know when your music's been heard. Because I think we hear from a lot of artists that you know it's very demoralizing to send your track out to all the different label demo boxes and just to hear nothing back. So even if it's just just a little notification to say it's been listened to. That's a really kind of big notification, I think, for an artist to receive. And then we're hoping that because of the fact that chat is so easy in the Same Music app, that we'll also get people kind of dropping in feedback as they go along as well. That's the kind of the way users get feedback when you upload a track to Same Music.
For each track and playlist, does it have like a private link that you can then send to, like, for instance, can I upload my tracks to it and use it as a system that I then give those links to people that are not on the system, for instance?
Yeah, there's a message, a URL for each message you send.
Yeah.
But you kind of lose some of the benefits there around kind of security that we really kind of try to hammer home. So the way people tend to send tracks to multiple people is you can put, five, it depends again slightly on the plan, but you can put 5, 10, 15 recipients on one message that you send. So right. generally the way people do it is they'll take a track and they'll go to the directory, find some interesting people they want to message, and just send a few messages out individually. But if you've got a big list that you want to send music out to, then you just start a message, drop all the email addresses to the to field and hit send. And then what we do on the background actually is we create an individual private link for each. And so that way you can track who's actually listened and who hasn't and all that kind of stuff. It becomes a bit more secure around, if potentially a link appears somewhere on a site that it shouldn't, you can potentially trace that back to who you sent it to in the first place.
Oh, okay. So if I was sending a demo, which common problem for me is I upload my track as a demo. I want to send it to a demo. I want to send it to four labels.
Yeah.
I would then drop the four, I knew the four email addresses. I'd drop those four labels in the message, and then they would each individually get the message individually.
That's it. Yeah. So we're looking at doing kind of group chat and that kind of thing in future. But right now, every message in the Same Music system is a one-to-one message. So right. Even if you drop, if you drop four labels into the to field, that will create four distinct messages. And if you look in your outbox or your sent box on the Same Music app or on the Same Music web app, you'll actually see four distinct messages, one to each label. And so, and you'll get four distinct notifications when they listen, so you'll get a push notification when each label listens to it.
Can you customize the actual message to each of those people as well?
You can't right now. The way to do that right now would be send a different message to each one, but obviously that's not super slick. But you can't kind of do mail merge or anything like that quite yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking so it's best to also do it individually.
There's a reason for that, right? Yeah, we kind of want it to be personal. There are PR companies using Same Music to push releases. And that's fine. We allow that. That's kind of part of the ecosystem. But yeah, we're trying to encourage people to be as personal as possible, because at the end of the day, that gives you a much more higher likelihood of being listened to. So generally, we advise on kind of personalizing the messages as much as possible to actually get the higher chance of being heard.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. I guess I was thinking like how I would normally do it. I'd create the link on I'd upload to SoundCloud. I'd have a private link that I'd use for maybe four labels. And then I'd individually email them. But yeah, so you'd individually email.
Workflow. Yeah, I think it's...
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it's interesting speaking to a lot of different people at the moment, and I think it takes a little bit of a switch sometimes to go out of the mindset of using separate services for different elements. Like,
yes,
I think a lot of labels and a lot of companies are just sort of stuck in this mindset of we need a link, and then we need you to fill out a form, and then we need you to sign a waiver, and then we need to do all these steps, and then we might never listen to your music at the other end. And we've kind of flipped that around, and we're like, we want a big diverse audience sending music and getting through to the right places where they should be and heard and put forward on the radio and released and all that kind of stuff. So we want to make it as easy as possible at that first step. And we actually did some comparisons with WeTransfer, which obviously comes up a lot as a competitor for us potentially, and we're at least twice as fast to get from upload to play on versus WeTransfer, if not more. actually sped up WeTransfer a little bit just to make it seem fairer. But by the time you've waited for it to upload, verified your email, lost the email again, found it, downloaded the link, tried to trawl through your downloads folder, open Apple Music, have to update Apple Music, to play the track, you could have already listened to two or three submissions through Zen Music. So yeah, it's sometimes it takes a little click, but I think once you start listening through Zen Music, you really notice the difference.
The next thing I want to talk about is what I'm guessing you can send any type of music, any type of file format for music. I guess you're not restricted by. I guess they'll all. Will they all play, or is there restrictions on file types?
Yeah, there's no restrictions on file types. You get the most benefits from sending any audio file type because that's when we kind of do the magic on the back end and generate the previews and do any of the watermarking or the play limiting and stuff like that. Obviously, if you can send DAW files, you can send zips and docs and images and anything else. But when you send an audio file, that is created. That's generated. Yes, the waveform is generated for that and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of. I wasn't thinking about zips or anything. I was thinking more like FLAX and ACC files and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we see hundreds of thousands of files come through every few weeks, and WAVs work great, MP3s work great, AAC works great, FLAC works great, AIFS work.
Yeah.
A lot of the time they work. So yeah, as long as it's an audio file, we can process it.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't even think about sending anything else other than music, but I didn't even think of it like you could send a JPEG.
Yeah, well, I mean, mostly that comes up with, in that PR context or even just in the demo submission quite often. You'll send a demo, but you'll also send little album artwork or little liner notes or whatever, or even just a little, any other little messaging you want. Or
I guess you're like PDF one pager of what you're about, maybe.
Yeah. And those are a good way of kind of getting noticed a little bit above everyone.
That's very cool. Very cool system. Very cool. And people should definitely go and sign up to it. It sounds cool. I will definitely make my data transmission profile shortly in the next half an hour. Thank you for joining me, my friend. It's amazing to see you. Thank you for telling me about the system. It's well cool. And please, listeners, go and sign up for Zen Music and use it, because that sounds great. And I wish you all the best with it for the future. Keep me updated and let me know when there's new stuff. And I'll chat about it for you as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's good to catch up, and I'm looking forward to catching up more soon and seeing lots of people come on to zenmusic.com, lots of new profiles in the coming weeks.
Let's hope so. Yeah, let's hope so. It looks really cool. Thank you, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Cheers, Graham.
Cheers. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have, please go. If you're listening to an Apple podcast, please go and give it a rating. Give it a thumbs up, share it. It really helps the podcast grow on Apple Podcasts and goes up the chart, which means we can get bigger guests with bigger numbers, and which gives you more information and more tips. Thanks so much again for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. I've been Graham Farmer. Bye.